This has been inspired by the book The Gospel of Isaiah, written by Dr. Derek Stringer. And he's an international speaker. He works for UCB Radio, I think. I think that's the right one. The international radio, Christian radio station. And he's a very influential speaker. So in the way of introduction, then allow me to give you a bit of a short testimony, if you would allow me to. One September morning, when I was a very young Christian, the Lord spoke to me and woke me up at 4:30 in the morning, one September morning. Now I need to tell you that it's only the Lord that can wake me up at 4:30 in the morning. I can assure you of that, because I've slept through fire alarms and all sorts. And I was at a conference once, and there was a fire alarm right outside my door, and I didn't hear a thing. And I probably heard the last sort of ringing of the bell, and I opened the door, and people were coming back in again. So, yes, I can sleep through anything. So when we were living in Christchurch at the time, I woke up and got up, and I thought, okay, the Lord wants me to just go and be in a quiet place. So I got on my motorbike and rode down to Mudderford Quay, which is about 2 miles down the road from where we were. If you've ever been on the south coast, you know it's an absolutely beautiful place. It's fantastic. If you've been there on the holiday, then you would have enjoyed yourself. If you haven't been there on holiday, then I suggest when we're allowed that you take a visit, especially Mudderford Quay. It's such a beautiful place. It's only a small beach, really, a couple of miles long, but it is a beautiful place. Ali and I used to frequent a lot the cafe down there on the beach, and it's changed hands many times, but now it's a more glamorous affair, shall we say. So it's a good place to be able to relax. It's a good place to be able to just chill out. No matter what the weather, it's always a good place to be, whether it's hot, cold, frosty, whether it's snowy, whether it's stormy. It's a really nice place to be. All the different seasons can give you a lot of different feelings. As I say, it's just a beautiful place to be. And you can hear that I don't miss it at all, really. Well, that September morning at 4:30, I pulled into the car park at Mudderford. And I sat there on the bench for a little while, just looking out to sea. The sea that morning was just so calm. It was just unbelievable. It was so, so calm. There's just a gentle ripple where some of the fishing boats were coming into harbour to unload some of their catch. There's not a lot of fishing boats that pull into Mudderford, but there's enough to keep the economy going. So I thought to myself, as I looked out over the sea, if Jesus wants me to meet him walking on the water, then I think I'm stuffed. I don't really think I've got the face for that at this time. But fortunately, I don't think he wanted me to do that. So as I opened my Bible, just at random, it fell open to Isaiah 43. So allow me to read it to you from verse 1 down to verse 13. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Some versions might have, he who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Anyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead those out who have ears but are, have eyes but are blind, and ears and have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove that they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I am the Lord. Apart from me there is no Saviour. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. And yes, from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? May God bless his word to us this morning. When I read those words, man, the hairs on the back of my neck just stood up. So we need to put chapter 43 really into context. We briefly need to be looking at chapter 41 and 42. And when I say briefly, it is going to be very, very briefly, so don't panic. So in these two chapters, 41 and 42 especially, God is talking about the fear factor. God doesn't want the Israelites or us come to that, to be crippled with a unhealthy thoughts of fear. He doesn't want us to be dragged down by fear. He doesn't want us to be crippled by fear. When we get frightened, in the normal sense, that is a God-given emotion. God has given us that emotion to help us to survive. It's part of the fight or flight trigger that keeps us alive. The fight means that we are so scared in certain situations that no matter what happens, we are going to stand and we are going to fight. It's a bit like going into a burning building, really, to save your family. It's that adrenaline that gets you. You're so frightened, but you need to go forward and you need to fight for what you believe in, or to fight to rescue. The flight means exactly that. You know, I'm off as quick as I can. I can't handle this situation. I'm going in the opposite direction. So getting away from the dangerous situation that we may find ourselves in as quick as possible. And there's no shame in that, because as I said, that is part of the fight or flight trigger that God has given us. That's part of our DNA. And we handle fear or being frightened in many different ways, don't we? All sorts of us can be frightened of something or other. And others might say, what on earth are you frightened with that for? Some people get a kick out of being frightened. The adrenaline junkies, putting themselves in place of danger just to get that adrenaline kick. You may hear of some people said in the past, the only thing to fear is fear itself. Well, that's okay, providing, of course, that you're not a passenger in a driverless car that's heading for a cliff edge at 80 miles an hour. Some people allow fear to take root in their lives. They focus on the fear so much that it can turn into a phobia. The phobia comes from the Greek meaning to panic out of all proportion. Some of the top fear factors are, and I'll read some out. And these are real phobias. And of course, we have the first one of claustrophobia, which we've all heard of, which is the fear of confined or crowded spaces. Hemophobia, which is the fear of blood. Hydrophobia, which is the fear of water. Pogonophobia, which is the fear of beards. That's weird. I find that interesting. Nephophobia is not a fear of nephews, but is actually a fear of clouds. There you go. Cryophobia is the fear of ice or cold. Brontophobia is the fear of thunderstorms. And arachnophobia, obviously, is the fear of spiders. Ecclesiastophobia is the fear of church. How weird is that? Apparently, that's a real issue for some people. And this last one, I've got to get my tongue around this one. Homilophobia, the fear of sermons. Yeah, that's a real thing, apparently, that people are frightened of listening to sermons. So if you are that way inclined, the door is open. I will not be offended if you wish to get up and walk out. Jenny, sit down. To some of us, phobias, as I say, may seem a little bit silly. It may seem to be, you know, that just sounds too weird to be true. But for those of us that suffer from these things, it's a reality. It's true. It happens. God is telling the people of Israel not to fear, for he is with them. You will notice at the beginning of chapter 43, the two words that say, but now. But now. Something is going to happen. Something new is going to happen. Something God is doing. Something that the Israelites weren't expecting. And they were still running around being disobedient. They weren't focused on God at all. So he chose to focus on them. But now. When I read those words on that September morning, as I said, the hairs on the back of my neck just stood up. I sat there on the beach and I just read those words a couple of times. And as I say, I just felt somebody was stood behind me. And the feeling was so strong that they were stood behind me. I was very, very reluctant to turn around and to see who it was. When I did pluck up the courage, there was nobody there. There was nobody in the car park. So I've just put it down to the Holy Spirit being with me at that time. I just wondered, have you had a but now feeling in your life? Have you had a but now situation in your life? At the very beginning, God sets out who he is. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, he who formed you. And there's that phrase again, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Oh man, that's got to get you, hasn't it? That's got to grab you. You are mine. You're nobody else's. You belong to God. Hallelujah. Let's just stop and just take that in for a minute. Just to let that sink in. No matter where you're at this morning. No matter what's happened in your life, God is with you. God is with us. He's got us in the palm of his hand, and he's not going to let go of us. As God called the Israelites, he has redeemed them, and he has called them by name. And he declared that they are his people. Wow. That's the same for us today. It's exactly the same for us today. He has called us by name. Every single one of us, he has called by our names. And he has brought us in. Every single one of us here this morning has been called by God to recognize who he is. Wow. That's pretty cool. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. God has redeemed us and he is looking after us. But don't get confused. God's not saying that he's going to take all the messy stuff of life away from us. He's not going to make it easy for us. We still need to go through the trials and hardships. But this is what verse 2 says. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Whatever hardship you're going through, God is taking every step with you. The difference is he will be with us every step of the way. For us that know him, he's walking with us. For those that don't know him, well, they haven't got a clue, have they? They haven't got a clue that they have a God that is walking with them until they recognize who God is. They won't know that God is with them. But how do we know he's with us? Because he says so. And if God says so, then that's exactly it. He's with us. The Israelites were precious and honored in God's sight. But why were they precious and honored in God's sight? Because they were running around like headless chickens being disobedient. So why are they being honored and precious? They're in rebellion. They were mixing all sorts of different rituals with their own way of worshiping. They were doing their own thing. They were adding bits of worship here from different places. They were just in total chaos. So why were they precious and honored in God's sight? Simply because he loves them. That's all it is. Simply because he loves them. And that's the same for us today. That's exactly the same for us today. We are precious and honored in God's sight because he loves us. How cool is that? How amazing is that? Can I get an amen? Thank you. I heard a murmur from somewhere. So how are you with that? How do you feel about that? Do you feel excited? Do you feel sort of oomph? Do you feel, wow, you know, I came in today feeling pretty grotty, but now I'm going to go out knowing that God loves me and cares for me and he's going to look after me? Or do you feel, well, I might already knew that. That's okay, that's great. If you already knew that, that's fantastic. I think for those of us that know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we're pretty cool with that. We're pretty cool with the fact is that, you know, God loves us and he takes care of us. But what if you're not quite sure about this sort of stuff? What if you're not quite sure of how this sort of thing works? How do you get your head round it? Well, I think the best way to get your head round it is to actually ask God and to seek God anyway. Ask him to reveal himself to you in a way that you understand. God doesn't reveal himself for you not to understand. He reveals himself in a way that you can totally understand where he's coming from. God works through his word, the Bible. He works through circumstances and he works through his people. So if you're not quite sure of where you're at with God, then ask him to reveal himself to you. And he will. Right from the outset, God is working and he says, "This is who I am, the Lord. This is what I've done, created you. And this is how I behave. I love you." See, the thing is, when the Israelites stop and actually start to think and realize that they need to sort of put things right with God, they will suddenly realize, and they suddenly realize then, that he will protect them. And again, that's the same for us this morning. It's the same for us. We'll go through hard times, yes. And there's a few of us that are going through hard times this morning. And we will rebel. Yes, we will. Because that's human nature. We have to practice in not rebelling, which is contrary to how the things are in our DNA sometimes. And in most cases, you know, will succeed. But we need to remember we have been created for His glory. We've not been created for our own glory. You can look in the mirror and think, man, I'm looking good this morning. But just remember that when you do that, you've been created for God's glory and you look good for God. Then give Him glory. I've been involved in quite a few Alpha courses over the years. And two of the most common excuses for why people don't attend church is given as they were hurt by somebody in church or a previous church. That's why I don't go to church. And that happens on a regular basis. But also the second excuse is God couldn't possibly love a person like me. Well, you want to know what? You need to get over it because God does love you. At the end of the day, you need to understand fully that God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how many times you commit the same sin, God loves every single one of us. Not for what we can give Him, because we can give Him diddly squat. He loves us because we were created for His glory. When you sort of look at the world today and see what is happening, it can be very, very frightening, can't it? This last year has been scary for all of us. And I think it's not just us in this room and not just us in the community, but it's the whole world. The whole world has been scared of what's going on. Well, God says, do not be afraid. God says, do not be afraid. We were created for His glory, to be His witnesses to the fact that He is who He says He is. He is who He says He is. He is God. He is the Creator. He is our Savior. He is our King. And He is the Almighty. And you know what? He loves us. I don't know why I keep telling you that this morning, but that's the message that I've got to bang home this morning. I've got to keep telling people that God loves us. He created us for His glory. And there's people sitting here this morning thinking, yeah, mate, I've heard it all before, you know, and that's fantastic. But you're going to hear it again and again and again until you get the message, until the penny drops. Do not be afraid. I am with you, says the Lord. I just find that really incredible. I just find that just so reassuring that the fact is that no matter what I've done in this past week, God is still saying, do you know what, Mike? I like you. I love you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to actually walk with you and support you. Just don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. You'll be okay. What really matters is that we understand in our hearts and our minds that Jesus paid the price by dying on the cross. We need to get a new understanding of that. And that's what Easter is all about. It's not about chocolate eggs. It's not about fluffy bunnies. It's about death. Easter is about death and new life. You can't have one without the other, because that's what Jesus did on the cross. And with this, I shall finish. God is God. There is no other. Okay? There's no other God. Absolutely no way. And He's here right now this morning. He's with every single one of us by His Spirit. He created us for His glory, to be His witnesses. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. And when he acts, nothing, absolutely nothing can change it. I don't know if you've seen the film Sister Act, but there's a great line in Sister Act where Whoopi Goldberg plays Dolores Van Cartier. And Dolores Van Cartier is a lounge singer, for those of you who haven't seen the film. And she has a gangster boyfriend, and something happens, and Dolores needs to go into hiding. So she hides in a convent. The police take her for safety, and she's put into a convent to get her out of the way for her gangster boyfriend who's out to kill her. And as she walks into her room with Reverend Mother, the room is very basic. All she has is a window and a bed. And the room is incredibly basic, not to Dolores Van Cartier's standards. And Reverend Mother says to her, "God has sent you here. Take the hint." I think that's a fantastic line. This morning, God has brought you here. Take the hint. We need to put our trust in a new way, a deeper way into God this morning. Maybe you know God already, and I'm looking around thinking, yep, there's quite a few of you here that actually know God really well. But have you been ignoring him lately? Have you not said hello to him lately? Have you been in rebellion lately? Well, this morning I think he's calling you again to say, "I love you and I want to walk with you and I want you to put your trust in me again." There's a simple prayer in the Alpha Course to ask Jesus into your life. So I'm going to say the prayer. I'm going to say it line by line. And if you want to say the prayer, repeat it after me. You don't have to say it out loud. Just say it quietly in your heart. It's just between you and God. It's not between you and me. It's between you and God. If you already know the Lord Jesus and you don't particularly want to say this prayer, then that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Then just sit there, either listen to the prayer or sit there and pray for somebody that you know and love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. Just take a few moments to ask for forgiveness for the things that you know that might pop into your mind. Please forgive me. I now turn away from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I can be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you said that prayer, then come and see me after the service, please. And I can pray for you again and we can work out when we can meet and have a better chat. Our last song, Before the Throne of God. stand if you wish and do your usual jigging around. May God